Last week, we began a sermon series called Unbinding Your Heart. Based on a book by Martha Grace Rees, this series will explore the scriptures with an eye toward discovering what they teach us about sharing our faith with others. We've chosen this theme because in the Holy Cow assessment we completed earlier this year, the congregation named Reaching New People for Jesus Christ as its highest priority for Crossroads. We all want the faith we've found here to be shared and embraced by others. So this morning's sermon, The Prayer Plunge, will help us consider why prayer is an essential element in the fulfillment of our top priority. Next Sunday, on World Communion and Peacemaking Sunday, we'll take a look at how our engagement through three circles of relationship is also vital to our faith sharing. In the unbinding of our hearts, may we be led into a fruitful and faithful future with God's help. Let us now turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, source of light and life, giver of every good gift, open to us your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be the conduits of your gifts for a world that needs to know your love in Christ. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. And hear now these words of scripture from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in the story of Anne of Green Gables, which some of you may have read as a child, and some of you may be rediscovering through the Netflix series Anne with an E, there's a character named Cornelia, who is identified as a staunch pillar of the Presbyterian Church. One day, Cornelia asks her friend Susan about the health of a mutual friend. "Oh," Susan says, "I'm afraid she's going to have to rely on the Lord now." "Oh, no," Cornelia exclaims. "Surely it's not as bad as all that." At the heart of the sermon this morning, and at the heart of the scripture passage upon which it is based, is the premise that we're going to have to rely on the Lord for the health and well-being of the gospel in our world today. We're going to have to rely on the Lord to generate a faith that is vivid and life-changing. We're going to have to rely on the Lord to unbind not only our hearts, but also the hearts of those we want to reach. We're going to have to rely on the Lord to open windows to the Spirit that give us glimpses of the life to which Jesus is calling us today. Oh no, surely it can't be as bad as all that. We might say, if we've been following the narrative that says if we have the right leaders, the right strategies, the right programs, the right appearances, the right way of framing the message, we can produce the right results we want. Oh no, surely it's not as bad as all that, we might say, as we push ourselves to produce excellent worship, to prepare for and lead superb Bible studies, as we show up to care for children, to visit the elderly, to tend the garden, to sew a quilt, to write a check, to balance the books, as we give precious time to work on houses with Habitat, to serve meals at the Cathedral Center, to tutor children with our next generation, to provide for the material and spiritual needs of the homeless in partnership with Tippi, as we work on our buildings and work on our budgets and work at our meetings, work in the community, and then go home to gather our strength and come back to do it all over again. Clearly, our challenges with faith sharing here at Crossroads or almost anywhere else do not stem from any congregation's unwillingness to work. Far from it. However, we are all, pastor and people alike, caught in the well-worn pattern that bound Simon Peter and his friends when Jesus said to them, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." When Simon spoke his truth, it came from a man who had just finished a hard night's work, just got done removing the last of the seaweed clinging to his net, just folded and tucked it back into the boat, just wanted to go home and rest. And so Simon groaned, "Master, we've worked all night long." And Simon complained, "We haven't caught as much as a minnow." And yet Simon agreed to do as Jesus instructed. "If you say so," Simon sighs, "I will let down my nets." "If you say so, Jesus." When Simon and his fishing buddies went back out into the deep water, this time with Jesus as their fishing partner, it was a big deal. It wasn't about putting out more work or trying harder with their excellent fishing skills. It wasn't about using the right nets or picking the right place. It was simply about trusting what Jesus asked them to do. Excuse me. That can be scary, especially if we aren't sure we want to go there, or maybe don't know how. In the movie Avatar, there's a vivid example of what it can be like to learn this trust. For those who haven't seen it, Avatar is the story of a fictional planet called Pandora, inhabited by curious creatures called the Na'vi. From an Earth person's perspective, the Na'vi are an unusual breed, very tall and blue-skinned, with tails and hair that is worn in a long, slender single braid. The Na'vi ride strange-looking horses, who instead of a mane have two long, slender cords that look like pigtails protruding from the sides of their heads. At the end of these cords is a pod from which slender tentacles protrude. When a horse's rider touches the end of his ponytail to the end of the horse's pigtail, the tentacles in each fuse with the other in what is called Sahelu, the bond.
Feel her heartbeat, her breath. Feel her strong legs. You may tell her what to do inside. For now, say where to go.
forward.
So did you notice this first time Jake Sully made a bond with a horse? His eyes widened, and so did the horse's. Jake is just an earth person who is beginning to learn Na'vi ways. Feel her, his Na'vi companion said. Feel her heartbeat, her breath. Feel her strong legs. You may tell her what to do inside. For now, say where to go. Forward, says Jake. And as the horse lurches full speed ahead, Jake Sully is thrown into the mud. And so I'm wondering if this is anything like what it is for us earth-dwelling human beings that we are to learn to trust Jesus in prayer. To really learn trust and really receive guidance. Not just speaking some prayer words from memory, not merely reciting the list of names on the prayer web, not only saying what we want and need, but making the bond that widens our eyes and allows us to feel the heartbeat, the breath, and yes, the strong legs of our God. Learning prayer in this way may begin with lurching and thrashing as we tense up and try hard. We may even end up with mud on our face. But going into deep waters with Jesus in prayer is what makes faith sharing effective. In the bond of prayer, Jesus tells us what to do, that we may follow and end up not in the mud, but with nets filled with the people we have connected to the love that has saved us, to the healing that has restored us, to the well-being we have found in the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. By the time Luke's gospel was written, the church was working very hard to pass the gospel on to the next generation. There were persecutions and setbacks as they sought to live faithfully in a culture that was hostile to Christianity. So maybe it's not so surprising that Luke remembered and wrote down this story about the day Simon and his fellow fishermen went deep with Jesus. Maybe this story has been preserved for all time so that disciples of Jesus like us may hear about the day Jesus gave his tired, hard-working disciples a sign that it wasn't about their effort or about the fish. Remember, at the end of the story, Jesus said, "From now on, you will be catching people." From now on. Now that you realize you don't have to work harder or try longer, now that you've made the bond that makes it possible for you to notice the whispers of my spirit, now you will see what I will do through you. Of course, it's not that we don't already pray as a church. From the prayer web to the groups that gather for Bible studies and meetings, and the congregation that joins together in worship every week, we make sure that prayer is central to everything that we do. But as we continue this adventure with Unbinding Your Heart, we need to ask ourselves if we think our well-being or the church's capacity to reach others for Jesus depends on our efforts, or on the trust and discernment that come from the bond with God that we call prayer. In her book, Unbinding Your Heart, Martha Grace Reese tells the story of a Midwestern church that is a solid, healthy congregation with a much loved and appreciated staff. The church is administered efficiently with grace, and the congregation's roots are deeply planted in the Bible. People respect and like each other. The pastor has good relational gifts and a rich spiritual life. At the time Martha met them, the church had formed a new evangelism ministry team formed of four high-energy go-getter church members. Fired up to do great things, they sought Martha's advice. Sensing they were up for a challenge, Martha asked, "Will you trust me?" "Sure, Martha Grace. "Anything you say," they replied. "Would you spend 3 months praying together and not do anything else?" Martha suggested. "Meet every week for at least an hour. Pray for the church, for the members, for discernment, and for the people you don't even know, who God would love to be able to bring to your church. Pray that you will be open. Pray for each other and what's going on in your lives. Pray that God will show up, show you what you are to do, and that God will nudge the right people to help you. But promise me that you won't make any decisions or do any work on this project for 3 months. Lurch, gulp, yikes. Do nothing but pray for 3 months? That felt vulnerable, risky, even a tad bit irresponsible. But they did it. And so began the adventure Martha calls the agony and ecstasy 3 months of prayer. When the session asked for a report, the ministry team replied, "We're praying." At first, people laughed, but then they started giving the team prayer requests. After 3 months of doing nothing but praying, interest in faith sharing at the church skyrocketed, with almost 50 people helping with the church's evangelism efforts. With legs of prayer underneath them, the team began to move on ideas that took off, and amazing things started happening. This experiment in prayer permanently impacted not only those who conducted it, as two of them moved into leadership areas in other parts of the church, but also spread throughout the entire congregation. When they had done what Jesus commanded, Luke wrote, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Apparently, going deep with Jesus does make a difference. Making the bond in prayer, we are prepared in some mysterious way so that when Jesus tells us where to go and what to do, instead of flustered kicking and lurching, we learn trust, and thus we are led to a faith that is ever more vivid and connected to the things God wants to do through us. So, Crossroads, are you ready for a life steeped in prayer? In a world that looks at how hard you are working and what you have achieved, are you ready for prayer that could look like sitting in your favorite spot with someone you love, not needing to say anything because of the bond between you? Are you ready for prayer that widens your eyes with electric awareness of the gift of being alive, alert to whoever or whatever is right in front of you, and able to give yourself to the moment you're in? Are you ready for prayer, once described by Annie Dillard as requiring a crash helmet because it invokes a power over which we have no control? And that means courage and surrender and an open heart that is willing to be taken, unbound, broken open, and shared. Who could be ready for that? When Simon saw what Jesus did, he dropped to his knees and said, "Go away." Seriously, Simon told Jesus to get out. "This is too hard. It's too scary. I can't handle it." But then Jesus looked at Simon with love in his eyes and said, "Do not be afraid." Maybe it's not about ready. Maybe it's about desire. Maybe it's about wanting the bond that makes our faith real and puts legs underneath our faith sharing and trusts Jesus with our very lives. Apparently, Simon and his fellow fisher folk wanted it, for they docked their boats and dropped their nets along with their fears and followed Jesus. They left their work and they found new purpose. And it all began in deep water as they let down their nets and made the bond. May it be so among us in the unbinding of our hearts. Amen. As we consider